Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. And I'm here with Margot. Good evening, Margot.
Caca, everyone.
Ah, yes. And Margot, you're not going to be with us long because you're heading out of here, aren't you? You're going to the left coast.
San Diego. Paradise, you know, every day.
Of all the cities in the country, if I could just pick one to move to, it'd be the one with the perfect weather.
Hmm. And how convenient.
San Diego. Man, oh, Manischewitz.
Please don't stalk me.
There's no way that I would.
True.
Well, it all depends. In any case, today is Monday, May 21st. A week from today is my brother's birthday. It was a Monday, April 30th, that was my other brother's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, it's not for a week, but I got to remember to send him a stinking card. So we'll learn about that, but this is the anniversary of the day in 1956 that the United States exploded the first airborne hydrogen bomb in the Pacific over Bikini Island. Really, it's an atoll. There's more than one there, I think, is what that means.
That sounds serious.
Well, it is serious. I think it's also an anniversary of the something else about the hydrogen bomb, but maybe it's the day the Ruskies got one. But anyway, today is also the birthday of Andrei Sakharov. That's what it is. Born in 1921, the Soviet physicist who became regarded as the father of the Soviet hydrogen bomb, and then he became a human rights activist.
Happy birthday.
Yep. Well, I think he's still with us. He was born in 1921, so he's only 80-something, 85.
I didn't say 86. Otherwise.
Well,
I assumed that he was still with us.
No,
alive and kicking.
Well, we're also going to point out it's Plato's birthday, and I believe he's dead.
Yeah, 427 BC.
But he lives on in Western philosophy.
Unless he was like cryogenically frozen or something.
Plato. We're not talking Timothy Leary here. We're talking Plato.
Okay.
Plato, I forget who said it, but some philosopher said that all of Western philosophy is a footnote to Plato.
Eloquent.
It is. He basically investigated or laid out the fundamentals of virtually every question, major question in philosophy. Boy, there's a lot went on this week, Margot.
Yeah.
It's doing a show once a week. I've got to start doing a daily show.
Everyone would love that.
I'm sure they would. Thank you for that. But since last week, the number two man at the Justice Department, McNulty, resigned, the fourth person to resign out of Alberto Gonzalez's Justice Department. The U.S. military blocked the use of MySpace by soldiers, which is actually, they're not very happy about that.
Mm.
Bush found someone to act as his war czar. The first five retired generals that he asked turned it down, I believe. This he found a three-star general who is now
just
in charge
three star.
Well, he's in charge of now some four-star generals, so I guess that's why he liked the promotion.
Where's the five-star general?
There hasn't been one since, I believe, Eisenhower.
Ten-star?
Five is all it goes.
20.
You can't get more than five across the front of a helmet. I think Eisenhower's a five-star general, and I don't believe we've had another one since. I could be wrong about that.
Nice.
We also had Alberto Gonzalez, James Comey, sorry, the former acting Attorney General under John Ashcroft, who's long gone from the Justice Department, give us riveting testimony, and we'll probably get to this later, about how Alberto Gonzalez came to the hospital bed of John Ashcroft while he was in intensive care and said, sign here, we need you to sign this document, which Ashcroft has already said he wouldn't sign, but they were trying to pressure him a little bit. Jerry Falwell died this past week. He died, I believe, on Tuesday. Uh-huh. Yeah, so right after I did my show. And
you think that was the cause?
Not at all. He was 73, and if you looked at him, he was he enjoyed food, and apparently the greasy food got him.
Yeah.
Paul Wolfowitz resigned from the World Bank. Finally, we'll have a few things to say about that, but not a lot because it's all over except he's still drawing a paycheck.
Nice.
We got a deal on immigration in the Senate, and the far right is up in arms about it. The left is not happy with it. And so it's unclear if it's gonna fly.
What about the center?
The center is the reason we've got a deal, because the center in this country is sane and it wants to solve problems, not posture. And I am torn about immigration, but I do know that we have to do something.
Same here.
And then we got a lot of little things to go on. So I'm going to go to the little things first because the little things are so much more fun.
Really?
Absolutely. For example, one little thing that's fun is that Richard Gere and Shilpa Shetty will not face arrest or legal action for hugging. Actually, Gere molested her in public. This is an Indian star, a Bollywood star, who a week ago they were in the news, or 2 weeks, because Richard Gere met her, or came on stage someplace in India, and couldn't resist, because she's gorgeous. And he hugged her and bent her backwards and kissed her on the cheek, a long kiss on the cheek. And she was a little embarrassed and flustered. It turns out they then put out an arrest warrant for both of them.
Nice.
Richard Gere left the country, but he can't go back to India, was the argument, because public displays of affection are illegal over there. And I'm thinking they should be illegal here, you know? You've seen some of your friends. It's disgusting, don't you think?
Yes.
Of course, they're not, they don't look like Richard Gere and this babe.
That's true.
This is a Bollywood babe.
But you do have a wacky definition of what fun is. This doesn't sound like fun.
Well, how about this one? Opie and Anthony have been suspended for 30 days.
Oh, no.
For inappropriate nonsense.
That's awesome.
So, here's what happened. They have a character that comes in who they call Homeless Charlie. And I guess he really is a homeless man. I thought he was an actor. But one article I meant claimed, and this article could have been misinformed, less informed about Opie and Anthony than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And claimed that it's a real character, I mean a real homeless person, but Homeless Charlie comes in, and I can't say the words that he said on this show, because not because public access doesn't allow it does, but Virginia obscenity laws doesn't allow it. Apparently I could say it once or twice, but I'm not going to sit here and start throwing out F-bombs. That's right, they said fart. No, I wouldn't say it. No, they went a lot worse than fart. He got on and started to fantasize. Here's the way the article in the paper wrote it up. Last week they laughed, the hosts, Opie and Anthony, laughed as a controversial character fantasized about violent sex with Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State, Laura Bush, our First Lady, and Queen Elizabeth, our Queen. No, she's no longer our Queen. I think we shafted her years ago, centuries ago. In any case, they were left on the air for a certain amount of time, and then CBS found the nerve to suspend them for 30 days. Apparently, they joked again about it on the air, because they apologized right away and said, oh, we take this seriously, and mm-hmm. trust us, we really take our job and our money seriously. And then they joked about it again, so CBS suspended them for 30 days. But they will not fire them. And the reason they won't fire them is that they have a huge revenue stream for XM Radio.
Yeah, I listen to them all the time.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, do you know Homeless Charlie?
No, I don't, because I don't listen to them all the time.
So stop lying to me then.
Okay, I listen to them when I have a chance.
I try not to lie to my listeners more than once every 20 minutes, and
really?
You should too.
Oh, no.
No, as George Leroy Tirebiter said, you can believe me, because I never lie, and I'm always right.
Wow. Those quotes are great.
Oh, I got a million of them. Unfortunately,
please,
it's not.
Please don't tell them all.
Unfortunately, it's not Shakespeare. It's the Fire Sign Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Donald Trump was in the news over an interesting item. I don't find much interesting about him. Well, if you look at him, do you think he's kind of a pathetic character?
Pathetic? Well, he has lots and lots of money, so no.
Okay, right. And he's much more successful.
That's what I judge on.
He's much more successful than I am. But he seems to judge his success by how young a supermodel he can attract to his side. And I think that's pathetic.
Yeah.
The man is 61. Now, what
he
this...
He looks 62.
Exactly. But, yeah, the hair, all of it, you know. I kind of go the opposite way on the hair, as you can see. I've just gone to even shorter.
Yeah, I see you've got a nice haircut going on.
Oh, it's as short as it can get without shaving it off.
Nice mohawk.
Well, it's not a mohawk exactly, no. A mohawk is a big chunk of hair down the center.
I know.
And nothing on the sides.
I was trying to give the viewers a visual.
I have a reverse mohawk.
Yes.
Typically. Right now I got a complete scalping, except I haven't shaved it. It's just pretty dang short.
That's great.
In any case, Donald Trump is in this little item in the paper because he Now, he just had a kid 14 months ago, and he's got this young wife
Trump
or girlfriend, Jr. right? But his oldest son is 29, and he's married, and they just had a baby girl. So he's now a grandfather. Well, wouldn't you think someone would be proud of being a grandfather?
Yeah.
Here's what he said when somebody asked him about it. He said, well, it's not something I necessarily had in mind, but it feels very nice. Now, it's not like his daughter got pregnant when she was unmarried. His 29-year-old son is married, and they had a child, and you'd think he'd be a proud grandpa. Instead, he makes it sound like he's worried about his image. That's why I took it. I read it was he's worried about his image as a 61-year-old stud or something. Because
yeah,
he said
a little strong.
It's not something I necessarily had in mind. No, you're not supposed to have it in mind. It's between your son and his wife.
True.
Stay out of it.
True. Lesson
anyway,
learned.
Bad news.
What?
You know the cavemen on Geico ads?
Oh, I love those guys.
I like them too, but. It's like taking a... ABC is going to do what Saturday Night Live does. They get a successful character or sequence, and they play it multiple times, like... Oh, who are the two cheerleaders on Saturday Night Live? You might remember that generation.
Oh, that Sherry O'Terry and Will Ferrell.
Yeah, see... Right, but I don't know who the actors... Who they are supposed to be. Or...
I don't remember the character
Eddie games. Murphy had Gumby. We had the Coneheads. We had... which ones did they make into movies? The Coneheads... They made
and the Ladies Man they made into a movie.
The Ladies Man was a movie, and the the girl that played
Molly Shannon.
Molly Shannon, what was her character? I forgot.
She was that
that pathetic
crazy,
girl.
Yeah, who always smelled her armpits.
Smelled her armpits, jumped around and fell over and knocked stuff down.
She played some sort of Catholic schoolgirl.
Yes, Catholic schoolgirl. That's what it was. Thank you. And they made a movie out of that, I believe.
Yes.
But see those movies.
It, never watched it.
Those movies are so thin. There's nothing there. Guess what? ABC is making a series out of the cavemen from the Geico Insurance.
What is it about?
Well, they haven't said yet. I think it's about nothing. That's been very popular in recent years.
Yes, true.
But I don't care what it's about. I just think it's really interesting that they, you know, these are characters that people like, so they say,
let's they have a following. It's true.
Let's give them half an hour. No, I got to tell you.
Well, actually, it'd be 20 minutes.
When you get, I know, but you give them half an hour and people will start hating them because it'll be like the Coneheads, you know?
True.
It just don't work. So, other news. There is a company whose stock went up 83% in one day last week. It's a company called Odyssey.
Great.
Odyssey Marine Explorations out of Tampa. It's a publicly traded company, and they are a salvage company. And they know what they're doing. Before last week, the biggest treasure they had found...
Oh, right. This is the $500 million
thing,
right?
...was 50,000 coins. Right?
Great.
And they pulled up 17 tons of treasure from a shipwreck. And they haven't even identified what ship it is yet. They don't know for sure what ship it is. But it was in international waters. And the salvage company, in those cases, gets the money. It's estimated to be worth... $500 million. They think they found... Their previous find was 5,000 coins and other artifacts. This one, they believe, is 500,000 coins. And since they think they may be worth $1,000 apiece...
Yes.
It's $500 million.
Do you know what you would do with $500 million?
Yes, I do.
What?
I would buy this radio station, tear it down... And build a 100-story building called Finn Towers.
Finn Towers.
And then I'd start a TV show called You're Finned.
You're Finned.
That's really fined if you look at it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm trying to look up to Donald Trump here, and it's hard.
Right. You know what I would do?
No, I do not.
I would totally buy this incredible castle and pay my brother about $10,000 a day to clean it up.
That would be cool.
That'd
well,
be awesome.
We are going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to listen to an amazing 911 call, because this 911 call is from a police officer, and the police officer has confiscated marijuana but not turned it in.
Good.
Baked it into brownies, but apparently thinks he baked too much, so... He's panicking, and he and his wife got too high.
Maybe you can't control the high.
He actually thinks he's dying.
Sweet.
It's It's pretty funny. We'll try that when we come back.
Yay.
Hi, I'm Andy Finn. You know, even if someone handed me $1 million this morning, I'd still be doing my radio show on WEBR. Why? Because I have commitment. I have dedication. Plus, I signed a contract. Now, if you'll do the same, I'll have one more dedicated listener. Don't worry, you can void your contract if I ever get obsessed with liberals or gays, the flag, the pledge, embryonic stem cells, the UN, illegal immigrants, missing white women, or the country of France. So tune in the Andy Finn Show on WEBR, Mondays at 10 p.m. Hey, if you had $1 million, you could buy a radio station.
Toot woo, toot woo. We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and Margo.
Hey, gang.
I have a clip here that's just fascinating.
It sounded like a fart.
Well, let's listen to the police officer who seems to be so stoned, he actually...
He's not the only one.
He not only thinks he's dying, he actually says at one point he thinks he's dead.
Oh,
now,
ha-ha.
How stoned... I don't know anything about this. You know that, audience. But how stoned would you have to be to think you're already dead and while you're talking to someone? Let us listen in. This is from a local news story out in South Succotash, I believe, as Ronald Reagan once said.
Mm. A councilman from Dearborn, Michigan is outraged over a 911 call. He wants to know why no charges have been filed against a police officer admits to confiscating marijuana from suspects and then baking it in brownies. And once he and his wife were full and high, they thought they'd overdosed and called 911.
I think I'm having an overdose at his school with my wife.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. I don't know if it had something in it. Can you please send rescue?
Did you guys have fever or anything?
No, I think we're dying.
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead. Time is going by really, 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 really slow.
I love brownies.
Well, instead of being charged, Prilla.
Sorry.
Instead of being charged, the police department let the officer resign. His wife was not charged either. So far, police officials have not commented on the case.
Now, how do you follow a story like that?
Well, what's so funny is that they seem unable. In the newsroom, they couldn't keep it in. They were just laughing. That wasn't us.
Laughing and snorting?
Lying and laughing. That's George Costanza's line.
It's true.
It's pretty strange, but...
Strange. It's funny.
But so a couple of things. He says, I think we've overdosed on marijuana. So for those of you that don't know anything about drugs, we take drugs pretty seriously at my house, so I know a lot about them.
Great.
I actually, as someone that was a physiological psychologist at one point in my career, in my master's program, I used to operate on rats and inject drugs into their... I learned a lot about all kinds of different drugs and chemical substances. And... you cannot overdose on marijuana. You cannot overdose on a whole variety of drugs that are dangerous. Mm-hmm. But you can get a serious case of the giggles, and that's why I wonder about the people in the studio.
Yeah.
You can also get paranoid. And what happened to this guy, he was paranoid. He was so stoned, it sounds like, that he was paranoid that he was dying.
So why was the person asking about if they had a fever?
They're well trained. If you notice when he says, I think I've overdosed, they don't panic and say, oh my gosh, you're overdosing. They said, overdosed on what? And probably as soon as he said marijuana, they knew that the guy was going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard of stories like this before, you know, of people who panic and call a doctor.
They can't handle their pot.
Well, the point is, you should be, shouldn't even be doing it. But he's a cop. And, anyway, I just thought it was...
He should be enforcing that law.
That's it. The question is whether he'll be charged, because clearly, first of all, he was confiscating... I mean, he didn't turn in evidence. And secondly...
But I bet he had fun doing it.
He actually used a banned substance. And third, he's an idiot.
Don't say he's an idiot for doing what every American would do.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Okay, fine. Not every American.
Yeah, thank you.
What this American would do.
Well, you young kids today, I can't explain you. But I can tell you this, you won't catch me using marijuana.
Well, then, what did I see you puffing 15 minutes ago?
That was a I forget.
Yeah.
No, you never. Okay, so back to the 17 tons of treasure. What I don't get about this, they found 500,000 coins. Now, I've always thought that if you found a treasure at the bottom of the sea, these gold doubloons or whatever they are would be extremely valuable because, first of all, they're either solid silver or gold, but also, you know, a silver dollar from the 1900 mm-hmm. Can be valuable if it's rare enough.
Absolutely.
But you go back 300 years, and these coins are apparently 300 years old. You're talking serious antiques.
De Niro.
Right, big De Niro. I was trying to think of Robert De Niro and some good joke to fit in there, but I couldn't come up with anything.
That's a shame.
I didn't have the cash. Oh. I didn't have the cachet.
That's not funny.
Sure it is, nope. If you got a big enough vocabulary, kiddo.
I don't.
So, here's what I don't understand. If you find 500,000 coins and they're rare, putting 500,000 on the market, they're not rare anymore. So if they're worth $1,000, like I remember this story in the world of philatelists. For those of you who are not...
Say that five times
for
fast.
Those of you who are not philatelists, that is stamp collecting. And philatelists...
No,
so there was a story in the world of philately. Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea.
And the story goes like this. There's rare stamps out there, like a misprinted stamp. And somebody found hidden in a drawer once a whole sheet of them, all with the same misprint. Now, these things are worth, let's say, $1,000 each. Well, when a whole sheet of them turns up, and there's only three known in the world until then, let's say, I'm making these numbers up, of course, mm-hmm. as we always do in radio, but you produce a sheet with 50 of them on it, and suddenly the bottom falls out of the market. They're not worth $1,000 a piece anymore because there's so many out there. Everybody can have one that's a philatelist, practically.
A philatelist.
But, so you turn 500,000 coins loose, and the bottom would drop out of that market. So apparently, I mean, what they'll do is what they do with diamonds is they keep the prices high on diamonds by not flooding the market with diamonds.
I love diamonds.
Well, diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Next, there you go.
Next to gold doubloons in pieces of eight.
Doubloons.
Yeah, I always wondered what a doubloon was.
I have some thoughts.
I know what a Michael Bloomberg is, but and he's thinking of running for president. We'll get to that. Anyway, this whole thing about 500,000 coins, I don't quite understand, but it's a great story. There was a related story a couple years ago. I don't collect coins anymore, but I know a tiny bit about them. For example, I have a 1909 VDB.
Wow.
And
I don't know what that means
at
all.
So the Lincoln penny was first stamped out. What do they call it? Minted. Thank you. Coins are minted, not
you're welcome.
Pressed. And a 1909 Lincoln penny is the first year they made them. The rarest of them is an SVDB. The S stands for Sacramento, comes from the Sacramento Mint, and there are very, very few out there. The more common one is the VDB. It comes from the Philadelphia Mint. They didn't put a P. I think it's Philadelphia. It's not Denver. There's a D on a coin if it's from Denver. This is way back then. We don't do it anymore, I don't think. Some of them we might still. And the Philadelphia Mint doesn't have any letter on it. So a 1909 VDB meant it was minted in Philadelphia, I believe. And the VDB stands for Victor D. Brenner. And he was the artist who etched the face of Lincoln and I guess the reverse side of the Lincoln penny that was put into production in 1909. And so there aren't a lot of them out there, but it's only worth a few bucks. The SVDB is worth a few $100.
Now tell me this, Coinstar. What does TCE stand for?
TCE. I do not know.
It really does rhyme with BSV. Get my drift?
I do not get it.
K.
K. I know what K stands for.
Awesome.
That is the mint in Kyoto, Japan. See, we've outsourced. About 1930, we started outsourcing the minting of our coins because it was just too expensive to do here. So they've all been minted in Kyoto, Japan for the last 50 to 80 years.
Wow.
She's sitting here sucking it all up like it's true. We love it.
Yeah.
You are too. No, my audience is too smart for that crap. Anyway, the reason I was mentioning the little bit I know about coins is that there was a fascinating story about a year ago that I enjoyed, and it was this. Somebody uncovered 10 double eagle gold coins.
Oh, double eagle.
And I believe it would be I'm guessing on the year. If you're a numismatist, I can't think of how you pronounce that term. But if you're somebody that knows something about coin collecting, you could correct me on this. But I think it was 1933 was the last year that we made gold coins. And it would have been the year that we went off the gold standard. And so the year we went off the gold standard, they started gathering the gold up in Fort Knox and other places and not giving it out to the public. Until then, you could buy an eagle or a double eagle gold piece. And I believe the eagles were $10 gold pieces and the double eagles were $20 gold pieces. And, you know, so when my dad was young, he didn't have a lot of money, but he had seen double eagles. Well, they took them all out of circulation during the Depression and when we went off the gold standard, which again, I think was 33. And these 10 double eagles, $20 gold pieces from 1933, turned up someplace about a year and a half ago. Now, that's not legal for anybody to own these things. You're not supposed to have them even in private collections, although there's a few out there. Well, this fella that found them calls the U.S. Mint and says, "Hey, I got 10 of these double eagles. What are they worth?" And they said, "We'd like to talk to you." They confiscated them. And I don't think he's being sued, but he's probably not going to get those back because they were never supposed to be in circulation. And what they found out was he was, I'll say, the grandson. He was related in some way to someone who worked at the Mint back in 33. And they believe he pocketed 10 of them before they melted them all down. See, they melted down hundreds of thousands of them.
Right.
And so that's why it's so rare, and that's why they're worth so much. But you put another 10 of them on the market, which the government's not going to allow. They won't melt them down. Now that they've got a few, you'd hold on to them. But they'll go on display somewhere. They won't be finding their way into private hands again once the government's got their hand on them. But I just
now,
thought,
folks,
I just
look
thought
for
that
your
story.
Coin jar.
Yeah, right. I just thought that story was interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah. I can never tell when you're serious, Margo.
Oh, no.
Anywho. The next story I wanted to talk about is I'm going to save that one. The life expectancy for Japanese women.
So, you?
So it turns out that there's a new study out that looks at the life expectancy of various people. And it turns out that Japanese women have the longest life expectancy of anyone on Earth.
Awesome.
It is awesome. They're expected to live to be 80 years old.
Cool.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 88. Japanese
Great.
Women is 88.
I'm Even
seeing,
better.
I'm seeing double here.
That's not good. It's from the pot earlier.
Sorry. I'm still seeing double. It's 86. They're expected to... They can live to be 86 on average. Japanese men, 79. Do you know what the life expectancy is for men, for Americans? For example, do you know what your life expectancy is, Margo?
Oh, I'm going to live to be like 500.
Well, it doesn't seem likely based on previous experience, but you could be the person that lives outside the statistics.
Yes.
Are you a smoker?
No.
Because, see, smokers live outside the statistics. They always think it won't happen to me. That's what I meant by living outside the statistics.
Yeah.
Do you play the lottery?
I do.
See, lottery players believe they can live outside the statistics.
They
will win, even though they have their chances essentially zero.
Numbers are my friend.
Well, but big numbers are problematic. Anyway, it used to be 72 and 78. Women live to be 78, men 72. Now it is women life expectancy in the U.S. is 80, and men is 75.
Huh.
Now, the thing I'm never clear about is how they calculate this. It doesn't seem likely when you consider all the people who die young, and not many people live to be 100. So if you take factor in all the people that die young, you wouldn't think that the average, all the people in America could average out to 75 or 80.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think what it is they start with the population that lives to be 18 or something like that. In other words, once you're 18, then your life expectancy is 80 for women, 75 for men. And I should look this up before I get on the radio and talk about it, but everybody else does this on radio. You know, they just talk.
Great.
So I'm not clear about that, but in any case, Japanese women are apparently the healthiest because they live the longest. And if you are born in Sierra Leone?
Yes.
And you're a man, your life expectancy is 37.
Oh, no.
Which would mean I would be, we'd be coming up on the 20th anniversary of my death in Sierra Leone.
That's great. You're that old?
That is not great. Sure I am. I always base my age on when I passed Elvis. I said he might have had more money, he might have had more women, he might have had more talent, he might have had more hair, he might have had more fun. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah, that'd be depressing.
Exactly. But once I reached 45, I'd lived longer than the king.
Wow, that's an accomplishment.
And so that's the way I looked at it, that every year I have...
drug problems for you.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing is I'm not fat and I'm not doing 10 different prescription drugs. In fact, I'm not doing any... No, I am. I got cholesterol medicine.
Oh.
But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I could do without cholesterol.
What other stuff are you doing?
A vitamin.
A
couple of vitamins a day, yeah.
Fred Flintstone?
No, I'm afraid I'm not.
I love the Flintstones.
Well, Flintstones meet the Flintstones, but, you know, they're a yubba-dubba-dubba-dubba. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll move on to English.